is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. In 1996, the Wall Street Journal referred to the Maglite flashlight as the Cadillac of flashlights. The creator of this flashlight that sold millions? Tony Maglica, founder of Mag Industries. Today, our own Monty Montgomery brings us the story of this Croatian immigrant who started with nothing and ended up with something.
Tony Maglica was born in New York City in November of 1930. But with the Great Depression in full swing, he and his family moved back to his mother's native island in Croatia.
1932, my mom went back to Europe. My father stayed here. They thought things were going to blow up in no time. So things were going to be good right away, you know. But he said he didn't have no money. He didn't have no jobs. My father didn't even have the money to send my mom back. He had to borrow money on a future, a job that he gets and paid it back. So I went over there with my mom, and we're supposed to go back in a couple of years. So they said, well, we're gonna save a little more money and this and that. And we are quite caught in a war, World War II. And that wasn't very pleasant to anyone. It was very difficult to live under Mussolini. If they suspect that you are a communist or you are on the other side, whatever side that it is, they simply torture you and kill you. One of the torture there was by rich in oil, castor oil, and they will put a tube in your throat and they will give you maybe a quart or so of this oil. And you die. I mean, it's just simply not immediately. But you know, it's a horrible way to die. There was no freedom to leave the town. We have no income. Then when the Italian got defeated, they got involved with Germans. When the German comes in the town, it was so frightening. Because they rounded all the people in the town to come down to town. And they put the entire town in a semicircle against a big wall with three machine guns, one here, one there, and one in the center. And I was just a young man. I remember my mom was there standing up. I was right on the center. So I went under my mom's skirt. This guy was really upset. Tell us to come out. They tell us to, we exposed somebody. They said that they know that we killed somebody in town, to dispose the person who have committed this crime. Well, there was no one that committed a crime. And we don't know if somebody committed a crime. Said, if you don't say, we're gonna kill all of you. So what are you gonna do? Just point the finger on an innocent person. And the people that I am, even if their life was on the line, they won't do it, they won't lie. There was a priest there, and he was begging them that his people are never commit any kind of crime. And he has, the priest say, you have a power to kill us all. I understand that, but if we've tell you that this person commit a crime, we don't know that anybody commit a crime, and in this town, never been person in jail. There's never been anyone, you know, they believe in God by doing crime like that. So anyway, on the end of about 4 hours, they're standing up, and you don't know that when they're going to pull the trigger. It's almost like being dead anyway. You don't know any second that they're going to turn around and start shooting. So my mom was terrified, and of course I was terrified. I mean, the whole town was terrified. Then they let us go. It wasn't the same thing everywhere in the country. You know, other town, you know, they put the people against the wall, just shoot them.
And you're listening to the voice of Tony Maglica, and he's telling the story of his life in Croatia around World War II, and letting folks know what real totalitarianism looks and feels like to a small village where he had set up until these grand inquisitions and interrogations by the Nazis, that there had never been a person in jail in his town. And yet they were looking for a murder suspect, and make one up. We don't care. When we come back, the story of Tony Maglica continues. From Nothing to Something, a part of our American Dreamer story here on Our American Story. Lee Habib here, the host of Our American Stories. Every day on this show, we're bringing inspiring stories from across this great country. Stories from our big cities and small towns. But we truly can't do this show without you. Our stories are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. If you love what you hear, go to OurAmericanStories.com and click the donate button. Give a little, give a lot. Go to OurAmericanStories.com and give. And we continue with Our American Stories and the story of Tony Maglica. When we last left off, Tony was telling the harrowing story of living under both Italian and German occupation in war-torn Croatia during World War II. But if there was anything positive about this time in Tony's life, it was his mother. Here's Tony telling the story of what she did to help the family during this traumatic time.
On anything, what she did, we sold everything that we brought from U.S. We sold the blankets, the cups, the spoon, the plates, whatever we have, traded for corn. My mom will save the corn and the various seeds of various grass, various beans and stuff like that. And I learned something from it. No matter how hungry we was, my mom would go to the pillowcase and she would take a cup of wheat. You know, I tell you, it's hard for me to even talk about it. There is no one like the mother.
By 1950, Tony had had enough of living in war-torn Croatia and made the decision to come back to the United States.
Well, there was a boat, a war boat, personnel boat, big ship, and England got it for the damage that they did. I guess they had to pay, so they took the boat, and so they used that to transport the people. I know it was like they was making a tourism out of it. So you have 2-3 classes on that boat. The third class It was just shelves, like a shelf where you store your cans. There was a 6 bed in this little closet. So it was myself and 5 other people. So I have it tough, but there's other people have it even tougher than I am. Family was tortured. The member of the family got killed. All these things, you have to have a desire to survive. You have to have a desire to accomplish something.
And Tony would accomplish something. But for right now, he was just one of many immigrants arriving in New York speaking very little English and with no money. So his first task was finding work.
When I come to New York, I went to work in a sewing company that making clothes. So make a collar, sleeves or whatever. 55 cents an hour. That was a lot of money then, well, at least for me it was anyway. I didn't know anything in the inches, you know, metric. So I said, I want to learn how to do it. So the guy says to me, go to school, there's trade school. So I went to trade school, I was there 1 week. And the guy said, look, fella, you need to go get a job. You don't need to go to school for this thing. You can teach the other guys how to do that. I couldn't speak English. How can I teach anybody? So I went to Denver, Colorado, got a job in a machine shop.
But before Tony was hired at the shop he would work at, he faced some aversion there because of his lack of English.
And they said, you can't. How can you do this job? You can't work here. I said, give me a job. If I can't do it, don't have to pay me anything. I work for free. I said, oh, we have a union here and stuff. We can't do that. And the guy says over there was speaking Italian, so my Italian was not really good, but was the only thing I have, and nobody speaks Croatian. So the guy that talked to me in Italian, he said, do you really think you can do the job? I said, yeah. So the guy said to the guy, why don't you give a guy opportunity, give him a chance? The guy said, well, come on. In the office, it won't like that we're doing. He said, look, nobody knows anything, you know, why don't you just, maybe we can get a big laugh out of it. The guy gave it to me. He gave me a machine that wasn't running for years. I cleaned that machine, made the slides move, turned the machine on, and I made the parts in 1 week, just as good as the people was doing now in other machine that was costing at that time probably maybe $8,000. I worked there for a year or something. But then these people says, you know, Tony, why don't you go to California? It's a nice weather, and you can make it $3 an hour. $3 an hour, God, you know, that's a lot of money. $3 an hour, more than three times what I'm making now. And I bought a 1947 Studebaker, and that was a piece, I'll tell you. The guy that I worked, that gave me $1.25 an hour, he gave me his car to drive. That's the first test of me in this country, a people, pleasant. They wanted to help me. I felt so guilty that I have to leave, but I said, I gotta get ahead. So anyway, I only made about 10 miles away from the Denver, my car overheated.
Nevertheless, Tony made it to California, where he would eventually find work at the A.O. Smith Company, a manufacturer of everything from car bodies to water heaters.
It was a really good job. I was making over $3 an hour.
But there was a downside.
We have a norm that you have to produce at least that much to keep your pay rate. And so I will make that. I will even give some parts to the people next to me who are making the same parts. Remember, the inspector will say, this is not your part. This is Tony's part to the other guy. So the guy would, you know, let it go, you know. But the one thing that I didn't like, They didn't want me to make so many parts. Didn't want me to shop my own tool. A very strict union. The guy said, look, you don't have to make that many parts. I said, but look at how many people are in line waiting to get a tool shop. I said, I can do it in 5 minutes and I can go back to work. The guy said, Tony, if you're gonna do that, you're gonna get in trouble. And it was right, I did. The people, when I got to the bathroom, they were over there, slow me down everywhere I can.
They messed with Tony's machine, hampering his ability to produce.
I said, my God, I was thinking about my mom telling me, you work hard and do a good job. Why this? Why did people do stuff like that? I was really sick in my stomach.
Tired of spending his days at a company where he was being held back, Tony decided to use $125 he had saved up to make a down payment on his own machine. Soon, he was able to rent a garage in South El Monte, California, and would pick up some contract jobs, initially working for his supervisor at A.O. Smith Company, who would offer him some advice.
He said, Tony, I heard you have a lathe at home. And he said, what about making these shirts for me? And I said, sure, here, you show me what you can do. The guy gives me that. He said, Tony, you know, you're doing a good job, but I need thousands of these parts, not just 50 or 100. Why don't you just quit the job and do this in your garage? You can make more money than you're making here. I said, that was my goal, but I didn't know where to get to work.
And you're listening to Tony Maglica tell the story of his journey from Croatia through Europe to the United States, from New York City to Denver, and ultimately to California, where he was looking for that $3 a day job. But in the end, fellow workers were holding him back from his potential, from what he could do with his life. And what happens next? Well, you'll hear more of Tony Maglica's story, our American Dreamers series, here on Our American Story. We continue with Our American Stories and the story of Tony Maglica. When we last left off, Tony had just been given a bit of advice. He was told that he could make more money being his own boss. So in 1955, Tony founded Mag Instrument. Let's pick up where we last left off.
I was doing the work for James Bonner Clark, and I was doing also the business for Cloud and Multiplier. That used to be a calculator that do by, you know, division and multiplication, you know. Anyway, they did a government job, so I was doing some job from them. And I was doing all different kind of stuff. The 30 millimeter projectile, Mauer 87 fuse bomb. And that was a very competitive job. For one penny, you can lose the job, even if you run it now. And it's job shop is very competitive business. People don't know how competitive that is. Anyway, I was doing the different job shop work, all kind of job shop work, including a component that actually took the satellite, first satellite up in space. I was making parts for everybody. Then there's a company by the name of Bianchi Company, and they made an aluminum light. So I told the guy, you know, I can make a light better than anything that you guys have. So when I developed and show him, he said, no, we want to make our own light. We don't want your light.
But despite the setback, others were still interested in Tony's flashlight, including Neil Perkins, founder of Safariland, who was looking to make a new flashlight specifically designed for law enforcement.
And he said, I heard that you have a flashlight. How about let me sell your flashlight? Okay, how many you can sell? Last year we sold several thousand for the whole year. Yeah, he said that part of it we couldn't get it. I said, well, if I'm going to make it for you, I want a 15,000 a month. He said, it's only 15,000 a month. It's crazy. Well, I said, yeah, I know I can make it, I can sell it. I can make it, and I can make it in production, I can make it economically enough and be able to sell it. He said, I'm sorry, Tony, but God, I wish you change your, if you change your mind, if it doesn't work, please come back.
So a determined Tony took his flashlight to a trade show.
We sold, first show, thousands.
You heard right. Tony had far exceeded expectations at his first trade show. And Maglite wasn't just popular with law enforcement. With the introduction of Mini-Mag, it became popular with the average consumer as well. Tony was making a lot of flashlights.
We average thousands a day, all the flashlights combined, not just Mini-Mag. But Mini-Mag, we sold them millions.
Tony Maglica, who came back to his birth country speaking no English and with very little money, had become a self-made millionaire. Tony didn't settle down, though, and now in his 90s, he's still working and making Maglites in America, nowhere else.
I go to work every day. I never miss a day. I work from Monday to through Saturday. Saturday, I spend not quite a full day. But during the week, I'm trying to be here before 8, and I never leave before 6, maybe 7. Sometime when it's nice, when the light is on, I don't go home till 9. Then when I come home, I eat the dinner, I go right on the drawing board, upstairs. People say, why are you doing it? Don't you make enough money? Yes, I have made enough money. I want the mag to continue. I want my children to continue. I want the people that are here, that have been with me from beginning, to continue. So what do I do now? Just kick them in the butt and say, go home? You can't do that. My conscience won't let me. When you make enough money for yourself, and your family is secure. And if you can do a good thing, good deed, there is no biggest pleasure in the world than doing that. My really goal is someday to have this company before I leave this earth, that I can get a good people, give them a little slice of that pie.
For Tony, his mission is to keep his business in the country that made it possible for it to exist in the first place, and to continue to help the people that opened their arms to him. It's the least he can do.
People retire, or people call me and tell me that they thank me. They thank me what I done for them. One guy I have, I didn't have very much money, or they, I was really struggling there. And the doctor told me he's got to quit working. The guy comes to him in my office, and he's crying. I said, John, what's the matter? I have to leave my job, this job. I said, but that's not the end of the world. What's? No, he said, I have a heart problem. The doctor wants me to retire, stop working. I said, John, it's okay, you know. I didn't have that much money. I wrote them a check of $100,000, send them around the world. I felt good to know that I was able to do that for him. I invest in equipment, I invest on the people, and I didn't want to go to China to make it. I could have gone over there to China, make it, I mean, the multi-billionaire. Why? This is the only place in the world they can do what I did. And everybody has that opportunity. There is no place in the world that you can have what you, opportunity that you have here. I will give up all my business, everything, for this country. I will give my life for this country. You're free to do whatever you want, as long as you stay within the law. The best day I have, I think, when I landed in New York, it was a land of freedom. You don't understand what that is. Nobody understands what the freedom is. Nobody understands what we got here. They don't understand that our Constitution, like the something horrible thing they think, they want to change it. Why do you want to change it when it's perfect? Don't try to fix something that's not broken. That compare with all the world, find the place that you can think you would rather be than here. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. God bless you. Be what you want to be.
And you've been listening to the voice of Tony Maglica, and this may be as good a story as we've told, not just about him, but about the country that adopted him and the country he adopted, because it's a two-way street. My goodness, did he adopt this country, and does he love it? From Croatia, across Europe, and across America, from New York to Denver to California. And when he finally becomes his own boss and brings his Maglite to a trade show, 250,000 are ordered. And yet, he didn't cash out. He didn't make his Maglite in China. He wanted to keep it here in appreciation of the country that he so loves. The story of Tony Maglica, the story of American entrepreneurialism and the American heart. This is Our American Stories.